It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from a safe and secure, undisclosed Level 3 Freedom Bunker, which is linked to our Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker, manned by my boss, Derek Stone, who's able to defeat the totalitarians yet again by making it so that this broadcast can occur. You know, folks, one of the topics that we have focused on over the past 10 years since the inception of Operation Freedom is your economic and your financial freedom and well-being. The presentations that we have given you over the past 10 years have been, if you will, very contrary to the smoke and mirrors stories that you get out of what I call the bought-off lamestream fake media. In the financial world, that would be Bloomberg and Reuters and Fox Business News and what I call CNBS. You see, folks, those are all tentacles of the deep state. And their goal is to strip you of your freedoms and your liberties and your hard-earned financial resources. And our goal is to present to you information that they will never present, which I believe ultimately will protect you and your finances and your economic well-being and freedom. One of the guests I've had on over the years who has been far ahead of his time is someone I consider a dear friend and someone who is one of the leaders and, if you will, most fantastic analysts in the financial world and in particular the precious metals arena. His name is Bill Holter. A little background on Bill. After a lengthy career in financial services, Bill retired in 2006 and moved his family out of the United States. He then returned in 2011 and currently makes his home in the great state of Texas. He joined Miles Franklin as an associate writer in 2012, posting commentaries there until 2015. He is now working in collaboration with the great and iconic, might I say, Jim Sinclair, and they help educate and enlighten individuals through Jim's site, JS Mindset, M-I-N-E-S-E-T, jsmindset.com. I encourage you to go there. Bottom line, folks, Bill Holter is one of the best forensic economic analysts in the world. Bill, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thanks for having me back, Dave.
So, Bill, as you look through the financial landscape, as I mentioned in your introduction, in 2006, you moved your family out of harm's way. You saw a number of red flags. And here we are, 14 years later, and I see red flags, but many people have criticized me that these red flags, in fact, don't exist in the financial world and the economic world. So, Bill, this question is directed at someone who moved their family out of harm's way in 2006. Where are you in 2020, Bill?
As a matter of fact, made kind of another move. We moved well out and away from population. Did that about 2 months ago.
And the reason why you did that, Bill, you like interacting with people. Why did you do that?
Well, the financial system is, I mean, it's mathematically going to come down, and you're talking about red flags. I mean, for the Federal Reserve and the Treasury to pump the amounts of money that they've been pumping, and literally since September 16th of last year, that's when this thing really snapped. When the repo market snapped, interest rates went from 1%, overnight they ran up to 10%. And night after night, ever since September 16th, the Fed was having to step up and pump money into the repo market in the neighborhood of $50 to $100 billion per night to keep that market functioning. And what the repo market does, basically, it allows, it does many, many things. Companies can carry inventory overnight. in the real economy, but in the financial economy, it allows brokers, hedge funds, et cetera, to carry financial inventory overnight. And if the repo market actually had seized up, you would have already seen financial Armageddon. Now, back in March, the real economy was shut down, and the Fed stepped up with massive QE. The Treasury stepped up. You know, they basically shoved money into the system, which hid, if you will, or covered the repo problem. Now, you're talking about red flags. The Federal Reserve, I mean, having to shove this type of money into the system should tell you that it's broken. It is broken.
And, you know, Bill, you came after you mentioned September 16th, September 17th, 2019, and the significance of that repo market issue. You know, you came on our show very soon after that and spoke about that.
Right.
Yep. And you got a lot of blowback about that, this is just a temporary thing and Bill Holter's making too much about this. In fact, Bill, you were in fact right.
Yes.
You were in fact right.
And yeah, you can look back at it, and that's the demarcation line where the credit markets broke.
So then the question comes, Bill, how long can they keep this smoke and mirror show going before Joe Public, or let's put it this way, before even Stuart Varney or those at CNBC have to start to, if you will, report on, to a small degree, about the problems?
I really can't give you an answer to that. I mean, that's when is the only question that no one can answer. You know, the time, the date of it. All I can tell you is mathematically, the credit now that's outstanding cannot be paid back. And if you look at what's actually happened already, it's a meltdown in progress. You look at the stock market and you say, oh, well, everything's fine now because the market's come back. The trillions of dollars that went into the system had to go somewhere. And that's basically what the Fed has done, is that they're trying to re-levitate or reflate the system by adding more liquidity, more credit to a system that was already over-leveraged. I mean, they're treating the disease with more of what caused the disease.
Well, this is what Ron Paul was.
I mean, I was called, you know, a nut job back in at the very end of 2006 for leaving the country. I mean, I was, what, 45, 46 years old and retired from a very good-paying job and left the country. And people told me I was nuts. Then we started having a few shakes and quakes in 2007 and 2008. Of course, that's, you know, the rest is history.
Ron Paul, a fellow Texan, stated the following this week. The Fed is getting desperate, end quote. These interventions will not save the economy. Instead, they will make the inevitable crash more painful. The next crash can bring about the end of the fiat monetary system. The question is not if the current monetary system ends, but when. The only way Congress can avoid the Fed causing another Great Depression is to begin transitioning to a free market monetary system by auditing, then ending the Fed. Your take, Bill.
I don't think there's anything that can stop what's coming. I mean, it's already baked in the cake. I wrote an article a week and a half ago. I titled it Only 90 Days Late. And that's where we are right now. When you hit July 1st, The whole system is 90 days late. You had legislation passed saying that renters can't be kicked out and mortgages can't be foreclosed and et cetera, et cetera. But remember, every single credit instrument For one person, it's a liability, but for the other side of the ledger, it's an asset. So what you're looking at is these loans, rents, mortgages, et cetera, that haven't been paid for 90 days. The owner of those have not been paid for 90 days. So the cash flow is not flowing through. I mean, think about the business in a mall that hasn't paid for 90 days. The mall, I mean, malls across the country are not owned free and clear. They have debt against them. So how are they going to pay their mortgage? What I'm telling you is the system is now 90 days late. And for anyone who has owned a business, you understand that once your receivables or a part of your receivables goes 90 days late, you're not getting paid. It's not going to magically turn on. The story of a V-shaped recovery is completely laughable.
So play this out over the next several weeks, then several months, Bill.
What I think you're going to see is you're going to see a unless they place more, extend the moratorium on mortgage and debt payments, I think you're going to start to see massive foreclosures across the board. Cars, single-family homes, commercial, et cetera, et cetera. And don't forget, as I mentioned, the owner of these credits are not getting paid. And you got to understand that one of the largest owners of credit are pension plans. So now how do the pension plans make their payments if they're not getting paid?
Yeah, it's a whole set of dominoes that doesn't end well.
Exactly. It's a massive domino chain.
So now let's talk about ways in which people can potentially protect themselves. And you've mentioned that before. That's with not paper, but physical precious metals. So take us what you're seeing underneath or behind the curtain as it relates to precious metals. Because some people are saying, well, gold's going up and silver's going up a little bit, but wow, I would think by now gold would be at $5,000 an ounce and silver would be at $80, $100 an ounce. Your take on those folks that are frustrated, yes, they're seeing things, or the gold and silver moving up, but they don't have a knowledge base of what's happening behind the scenes with gold and silver. You do. Educate all of us, Bill.
It's been done and it's still being done with paper contracts. They're diluting the price by selling paper contracts, but there's no gold or there's no silver behind the contracts. It's a way of diluting the price. And I do want to mention the best thing for somebody to do is to get yourself as best as you can financially out of the system and do your best to become as self-sufficient as you can. I believe it was about a week and a half ago, the banking system now has a zero reserve requirement. And over the years, it's averaged, call it a 10% reserve requirement. In other words, a bank has to hold 10% versus deposits or 10% versus money that they loaned out. And the FDIC, Federal Reserve, now, there is no reserve requirement. It's zero. So that should scare people into making the move and getting out of the banking/financial system.
And what is the status of most mining companies in our country and around the world, gold and silver? Are they at death's door? Are they financially solid? Where are they, Bill, your take?
Well, I can tell you that roughly 2,000 juniors over the last 5, 6, 7 years have already gone out of business. It had become very difficult to get financing and the mining industry is the most capital-intensive industry in the world. So they made it difficult to finance, and you had, like I said, over 2,000 bankruptcies. Now, it's very interesting. Because of COVID-19, globally, you can just look at it in Mexico and Peru, the silver mining industry supply is down 40%, which should have created a moonshot to price. It did not, and as I mentioned, the reason being, you've got sellers of paper contracts, and that dilutes the price. And that has masked the fact that 40% of global production is offline.
And when these companies went out, I know it's not general. Maybe we can generalize a little bit here. But when these companies went offline, did larger mining companies pick them up, or did the
No. The production is down. The production has stopped because of coronavirus.
Got it. So basic supply demand.
Right, exactly.
Demand for physical has been increasing. Supply, as you mentioned, has significantly decreased.
Yes.
And the way they're manipulating the price from skyrocketing at this point is with their use of, if you will, paper contracts in droves that are not backed by anything to keep the price from blowing up to the moon.
Right, and that's the reason that you want to own real physical gold and silver, whether it be in your hand or whether you outright purchase it and store it in a non-bank vault. You don't want to do an ETF. You don't want a paper receipt for an ounce of gold or an ounce of silver. You want the real thing. Because a lot of these, multiples of these receipt holders are going to find out there is no gold, there is no silver behind the receipt.
And Bill, do you believe that the syndicate is losing control of their manipulative arm, or do you think that they have as tight a control as they've always had?
I definitely think that they're losing control. You can see it everywhere. You can see it in the credit markets. You can see it. You've seen just ridiculous volatility in the stock markets. In the U.S., what is it, the top five stocks or the top six, the FANG stocks are bigger than the next 25 in the S&P 500. And you're talking Berkshire Hathaway, McDonald's, all the way down the line, 24 of them don't equal the top five. So, yeah, they're definitely beginning to lose control. And if they weren't losing control, you wouldn't see the desperation by the Fed. And I did an article three, four weeks ago. Desperate people do desperate things. And what the Fed is doing now is outright desperation.
Recently, the Federal Reserve had a representative that was sitting on the LBMA, the London Precious Metals, if you will, board, if you will. They're no longer, they've taken a powder off of that. The Fed has said, okay, we're not going to be a part of this anymore. Do you see any significance with that move?
I'm not sure what to make of that. I've got to chew on that a little bit longer. I just found out about that a day ago. And I guess someone from the Bank of France stepped up and they've replaced the Fed member. I'm really not sure. I don't want to speculate on that until I have some time to chew on it.
And Bill, what red flags are you looking for to signify that the prices of gold and silver are about to move? They're already moving up, but to really start to, if you will, have jet thrusters beneath them going upward into the sky as far as price. Are there certain red flags you look for to say, okay, the ground shaking before a major earthquake?
Yeah, I think if you just take an overview of it, it used to be, and I'm talking when I say used to be 20 years ago, back in 2000, 2001, you would see gold take a $15 or $30 hit, which was 5 or 10% back then, because you were talking $300 gold. And it would take 3 months, 4 months, for it to work its way back to where it got smashed from. And today, you can see the overnight hits. You can see a $20, $30, $50 hit, but it's snapping back very quickly. So I mean, just looking at the overall action, it's changed markedly. And I think once you see it get through the 1800-1900 level, once you see a two handle for 2000, once you see it at 2000, I mean, there's no telling where this is going to go. And for anybody who says that, you know, they have a price target of XYZ, whether it be, you know, 2300 or 3700 or whatever, anybody who gives you a price target, it's ridiculous. You can't make a price target. For two reasons. A, we don't really know how much gold the U.S. actually has. There's not been an audit since 1956. And B, you have no idea how much money, how many dollars the Fed is going to have to create to stop the credit market from imploding. And those are your two biggest variables, how much gold and how much money supply.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. Recently reported on Zero Hedge, gold is security in a dollar crisis. Stephen Roach is warning that, quote, the era of the U.S. dollar's exorbitant privilege as the world's primary reserve currency is coming to an end, end quote. He said buying gold is the key to offsetting the dollar's decline.
Well, owning gold, owning silver outside of the system means your capital is not in the system. It's not in a bank. When the system does collapse, and it mathematically will, you're out of the system and you're sitting on real money as opposed to credit money, debt money. And that's what the problem is. There's too much debt. And gold and silver are the opposite of debt.
And in fact, Bill, you've gotten criticized for this for years when you said this, quote, recovery, end quote, that has been occurring since 2008 is really not a recovery because it's essentially a debt-based event that is essentially prolonging the inevitable. And you have gotten immense grief for that. But in fact, Bill, you've been proven right yet again.
Right. That's been correct. And I mean, you're using the term recovery, and that's the term that they've used. Notice you never heard the term expansion, and the reason being industrial production never took out the 2007 highs.
Bill, how can folks follow you and your partner Jim Sinclair? Because it's absolutely imperative that they follow your work on a daily basis, because it's information that they are not going to get from the tentacles of the deep state that some people still watch, whether it's Fox Business News or CNBS.
You can go to www.jsmindset.com. And Dave, you used the word deep state. And guess what? That's mainstream now. And we were nuts how many years ago for even using the term deep state.
Yeah, in fact, Bill, when I went on air in 2010 and I mentioned the deep state and the globalist syndicate, the station manager got a request. It's a nice show, but very conspiratorial. Deep state doesn't exist, and it sure does. And Bill, it's now gone mainstream because of efforts such as yourself and Jim Sinclair are stepping forward and educating the public where the deep state's own bought off lamestream fake media would never touch. I thank you, Bill, for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom.